Let's just pray for Alan before he leads us. Father, thank you. Like all of us, Alan has experienced your love. He's experienced your grace, and he loves you, Lord. And so I just want to pray for him today as he brings your word. Won't you just lead him by your spirit? And I pray that you'd give us ears that are open, Lord, to hear what it is that he has to share with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Before I kill myself, I think I'll put some of the obstacles out of the way. Yes. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at generosity. Quite a lot of weeks, actually. I think we're going to spend 6 or 7 weeks looking at generosity. Now, why on earth are we spending so long looking at generosity? Well, the answer is actually very simple. It's because our God is a generous God. We follow a generous God, and we want to be like the God we follow. Now, we've been singing this morning how Jesus gave his life for us. That's generous. End of discussion. We follow a generous God, and there's a moment that Jesus talks about, and he says he's going to separate out the sheep and the goats. The sheep will go one way, the goats will go another way. And he says, here is the deciding things, which way we go. He's not going to say, actually, Alan, I remember now you spoke on Sunday and it was really a very good sermon, so you go that way. No, he's not actually going to say that. We might be surprised at the things he's going to say. Here's what he's going to say. He's going to say, when people were hungry, you fed them. When people were thirsty, you gave them something to drink. When people were strangers, and we've got some strangers here today, when people were strangers, you welcomed them in. When people were naked, you gave them clothes. When people were sick, you visited them. And when people were in prison, you visited them. So we want to make sure that we are following the generous God who wants us to be generous. So it's well worth our while spending 6 or 7 mornings looking at the subject. We've learnt in the last few weeks, we've learnt that it starts off in our head. What do we think? Do we think the world is such that we have to go out and grab everything we can for ourselves? Because if we don't look after number one, nobody else is going to look after number one. So I need to gather as much as I can, hold it as tightly as possible, invest it as wisely as possible to look after me in my retirement. That's one view of the world. The other view of the world is we worship a generous God who provides, who gives us what we need and gives us more than what we need more often than not. So what is our worldview on that? Then we saw that it goes to our heart. What do you feel? What do you think in terms of your emotions? And it's, if you have the right worldview, you then have to say, okay, out of that grows a compassion that I have for people. And this morning we're going to look at how do we cultivate a heart of compassion? How do we cultivate a heart of compassion? Now, I am not a farmer. My efforts in the garden have always been pretty limited and very unsuccessful, but I do know one thing, that when you cultivate something, it doesn't just happen. Am I right, Harvey? When you look at that lovely field of mealies at this time of the year, and it's all bright green, and they're all standing, it didn't just happen. Now, the farmer had to, I don't know, clear the land, plow that, plant the seed, do the weeds, whatever else you do, spray the crops for insect, and then had to harvest it before he gets the crop. There's a lot of effort. And this morning I want to look at how do we cultivate? It's an action. It's not a theory. How do we cultivate a compassionate heart? And there's no better thing to do than to look at the example that we get in Scripture. So I want us to look at a short passage in Exodus, Exodus chapter 3. Now you know the story. A lot of us will know the story. The Israelites are in Egypt. They are slaves. Life is really horrible for them. And the Pharaoh, the king, is making life really bad. And they cry out. And God has his man. Man doesn't know it at the time, but his man was Moses. And he calls Moses to lead his people out of Israel. And this is what the Lord says to Moses. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, etc., etc. Really today, there's only four words in my sermon. Do you think you can manage to remember four words? And the four words are in that reading. The first one is to see. Got it? To see. The second one is to hear. The third one is to know. And the fourth one is come down. Okay, that's not a word. That's two words. I've cheated. To see, to hear, to know, and to come down. And this is a pattern we see throughout Scripture. We see a God who sees what's going on. He sees where people are. He hears what they have to say. And that doesn't mean they just hear it out of the corner of your ear, so to speak. He's listening to what they say. He knows what's going on, and that's a big word. It means to understand, to grasp something. He understands what's going on with the people. And the fourth one is he actually comes to do something. So have you got it? To see, to hear. What's the next one? To know, and finally, come down. Okay, well now you've got the sermon really in a nutshell. So there's the example we have to follow. If we want to cultivate a compassionate heart, here are four steps for us to follow. Now this is a practical class. This is not the theory class. We're going to do some practical stuff a little bit further on that will require you to do your thing as well. So just be prepared. My wife said, it's an introvert's nightmare. So, first of all, to see. What does that mean for us? Well, actually, we're probably the most privileged generation of all time when it comes to seeing. We have access to so much material that helps us to see. Every day of the week, there is something on the news about Gaza. Yes? I know almost nothing about Gaza. I saw the news, but I didn't really see anything. So I went on this week, I spent about half an hour on the internet to find out. To find out, what about the Christians in Gaza? Didn't know anything about. Well, there's a small group of Christians. It's a small minority of Christians. And there is one evangelical church in Gaza. It's the Gaza Baptist Church. It used to have about 250 members. It now has about 50 people who attend. Well, when I say attend, their building was blown up in the Israeli bombardment. Several of their members were killed in bombs. Several of them were shot. And they don't meet physically because it's too dangerous to go out on the street. Did I see the situation? It took me half an hour on the internet to see just a little bit of what is happening in Gaza. But if I don't see it, I have no hope of being compassionate. So am I prepared to make the effort to see what is going on? It was interesting reading a bit about the guy who, well, he had been the pastor, but he had to flee the country because of threats to his life. And there was a little bit of an interview with him, and he was saying, you know, he is, I think, I'll try and get this right, he is an Arab, Palestinian, Israeli citizen. And he says that gives him lots of identities. But he said those were identities he was given. There is one identity he has chosen, his identity in Christ. He thought land was important. Yes, he had, but it's not that important. He says he's not going to die for land. His primary identity is in Christ. So it was just a practical example. I saw something. I heard just a little bit. I haven't gone very far in this. Heard a little bit about who is there and the situation they're in. That helps to develop in me a compassionate heart for what's going on in Gaza. Not just, oh, that's terrible, that's the new sort of a reaction. The same could be said. Sudan. I don't know much about Sudan. I know next to nothing about Sudan. I still haven't looked at the internet. There's a war going on. There's hundreds of thousands of people being killed. There's quite a strong church, I think, in Sudan, but I've never bothered to find out. Our friend over there might know a bit more about what's happening in Sudan. Democratic Republic of Congo, well, there are some South African soldiers trapped there. I understand that millions of people have died in the wars that have gone on in DRC in the last 10 years. Again, I think there's quite a strong Christian presence. Has Alan bothered to find out? Answer is no, I haven't. I could find out. I could start to see what's going on and to hear from the people so that I would have some understanding of what's going on in the world. Yes, so we have a great ability to see and to hear if we can be bothered to see and to hear. It comes closer, closer to home. What goes on in Sadara? Answer, I don't really know. Just down the road, don't really know. What goes on in Garlington? Well, there's a few of us who live in Garlington, but it's a privileged little bubble. Are there problems there? There are problems. Are there difficulties there? Are people struggling there? Yes. Are people mostly pretty well off? Yes, we're all pretty well off there. But have we found out? Did we get in our car and drive to Sadara? Have you ever gone down the Sweetwaters Road and you get down past the hill and there's a new petrol station on the left and then there's a road into the right and it goes down to Sweetwaters and down to Edendale? Do we get in our car and actually go down there sometime just to see what it's like? You honestly won't get mugged when you're going down there. We used to go to Edendale Hospital a lot, and it's perfectly safe. In Belfast, I lived there for nearly 40 years. There are areas I've never been to. Ligonier, Andersonstown, Tigers Bay. Why? Well, the people there are poor, so there's no theatre there, and there are no shops there, anything I would want. The people are poor. The people are Catholic, and I was Protestant. The people are Republicans, and I suspect they're probably terrorists. So I never went. The church I went to in Belfast was about 200 meters from a railway line. The other side of that railway line, there was a place called Andersonstown, and they were all terrorists. And we never crossed. In fact, even to this day, if I cross the railway bridge over there, I feel a bit apprehensive. I've never been. I don't know it. I don't recognize it. I haven't been to see. I haven't been to hear. I haven't been to talk. I'm glad to say in the last 20 years, things have actually changed and people have gone to see and to hear. And actually, the church I went to, just hearing recently, the local Catholic high school invited them to run an alpha course after school, a voluntary alpha course, for grades 11 and 12. You see, they went and they saw, and they went and they heard, they went and they began to understand, and actually things opened up from there. So we need to think about our neighborhoods. It doesn't all have to be about Sudan and Gaza and Argentina and Indonesia. It's not all about that. Think about our neighborhood that we live in, the places we are close to. And do we see? Do we hear what the people are saying? Are we beginning to understand what's going on? And then, are we going to take action? Now, a little bit different maybe from usual then is, I want us to put this, some of this into practice. Here and now. If you need to go to the toilet, go now. This is a family. This is a fellowship. And there are some people here I know pretty well. My wife, I know her pretty well. There's some people I would have good conversation. There's some people who, to be honest, I at most have said hello to. I haven't really talked, maybe mentioned something about the weather or the fact that Ireland were beaten by France or some other disaster. Things like that I talk about. But there's quite a lot of people here I don't really know. To be honest, there are a lot of people, not a lot, there are quite a few people here, I don't remember your name. Now that's a big insult. I can't even be bothered to remember your name. And so this morning, I want us to look around, stand up if you need to, look around and see, is there somebody here that you don't know beyond saying good morning? Now, we have visitors here, and presumably there are lots of people here you don't know. But particularly for us regulars, look around now. Literally, look around now. I don't mean just pretend to look around. Actually, look around now and see, is there somebody here that you've never really spoken to or got to know? That's step one. Let's see who's here. Step two. And that's where it starts to get a little bit difficult to listen, to hear them. Now, I'm going to try something. I want everybody whose birthday is on an even day. And for those of you still at school, that's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, etc. If your birthday is on an even day, please stand up. Now, are we, do you think we're close to 50%? Yeah, somewhere about. No, those who are standing up, and I apologize to visitors, I want you to go and sit beside somebody that you don't really know. Okay? So if you'd move around, look and see somebody you don't really know, and go and sit beside them or stand beside them. Don't do anything. I don't want to push you into feeling too awkward about all of this. But if you would move around. Okay. Now, the general idea is, we've seen the person. Yep. We can tick that box. We've seen somebody. And now we're going to start to talk to that person, to listen and to hear what they have to say. And just to break the ice, I'm going to suggest three things that you talk about. Okay? The first one is find out the person's name. Names are very important to us. And I want you to take, there's some pens on the table. I want you to take the pen and write that person's name, not on a bit of paper, on your hand. Because if you don't want to forget something, you write it on your hand. If somebody's got a cell phone number, you write it on their hand. And just in case you think I'm getting too far away from Scripture, Isaiah, God says, I've written your names on the palm of my hand. Okay? A healthy hum, I'm glad to hear. The second thing I want you to do is find out where that person was born. Okay. Not when they were born, because that's an embarrassing question for some of us, but where were they born? Okay, so you've got their name, you've written it on your hand, you've found out where they were born, and the third question is, why did they come here this morning? And be honest. Why did you come here this morning? Well, hopefully these conversations can continue over our tea and coffee afterwards. It's nice to hear a healthy buzz. And just remember, we're taking the first little baby steps to cultivating a heart of compassion. What was the first thing we have to do? See. We have to see people, whether they're in the same room as us, whether they're in the same neighborhood as us, or whether they're in the same world as us. We have to look out to see people. Second one is we have to hear. We have to hear what people say. We have to listen to it and pay attention. The third one is we have to know. Now, we didn't get very far on that here this morning. But I want to get the idea that that's what we're starting to get to know and understand people. And then the fourth step, which we haven't done. God didn't just see, hear, and know. God comes down. He came down to speak to Moses. He came down all over the place. He came down for the Ninevites, for heaven's sake. God came down to spare them for destruction. God comes down, and he, in the greatest way, came down in Jesus. He came down. He didn't stand aloof. He didn't hear, see, and know, and do nothing about it. And that's where we are left now. Okay, we are to see, we are to hear, we are to know, and we're to do something about it. Whether that means in our congregation or in Gaza, what are we going to do? It's not all about money, okay? In this room, there are people who struggle to make ends meet financially. So that is an issue. People who struggle, school uniforms or whatever. Let's see, hear what's going, what they're saying, understand what they're saying, and then, are we able to help? There are people here who are struggling with loneliness. Have you seen them? Have you heard them? Are you willing to spend time with them? There are people who are going through marriage difficulties. Some people who are married who are struggling, and there are some people who are not married who are struggling. Have we got time? Have we seen them? Have we heard them? Did we understand what they're going through? And then were we willing to come alongside, if we could, to help them in some way? So that's where we leave it today. We have to go out and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because compassion is not a wishy-washy conceptual idea. Compassion is about what you do. And remember, if we say that we follow the Lord, if we say that, then we should be like him. We should be doing what he does. And there is a day coming, there is a reckoning coming, we'll be responsible for what we did or didn't do. And in the final analysis, it's going to be the dividing. Not because of what we did, but if we don't look like Jesus, if we don't behave like Jesus, then we're not followers of Jesus. So it's a serious matter. So that's where I want to leave it. The four words, I'll go over them one more time because teachers say that's a good idea. We're to see, we are to hear, we are to know, and we are to, I'm going to say, act. We are to act. See, hear, know, act. And that is the end of today's sermon.